This message lays a foundation on how you can pray for finances. To dwell in Christ, ask God boldly for finances. Pastor explains the principle of sowing and reaping. To sow, be quiet and wait on the Lord till you reap. This message ends with a prayer for a supernatural debt cancellation.
One Chronicles chapter 4 verses 9 and 10. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jabez called, the 10th verse, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and thy hand might be with me, and thou would keep me from evil, and that thou would give me, and that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Amen. Tonight I want to title the message, Principles for Praying for Money. Since we are studying on finances, how many of you find that very helpful? We're looking at the principles in praying for money. Money is a good thing if it is in the right hands. Amen? Anybody got a problem with having a little bit of money in your pocket? Anybody? And I want to teach you from the word, that's all. Nothing new, nothing deep, but simple truths from the scripture, I pray, will work in your hearts, imparting God's wisdom. Here is somebody making a very bold prayer. Jabez is making a very bold prayer. We don't make any bold prayers. He's making a very bold prayer. He's saying that word, the word, we know that we have learned a lot on Jabez. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." Lift your hands and say, "Lord, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." He's making a very bold prayer. It is said that once when Napoleon Bonaparte was conquering the world and conquering one nation after the other and fighting battles, while he was visiting his soldiers, a young soldier stood in front of him, and Napoleon Bonaparte asked him, "What would you want? What do you like?" And this small soldier, he said, "Can I have the island of Malta?" And the commander, who was standing next to the Napoleon, said, "Shall we just take the sword and cut off his head?" How? I mean, this young soldier is asking Napoleon, "Can I have the island of Malta?" And Napoleon said, don't harm him. "As a matter of fact, I'll give him the island of Malta." Why would you do that? Because he had the audacity to ask me for it. Because he had the audacity to ask me for it. That is bold prayer. Here Jabez is saying, "Lord, unless you bless me, please Lord, bless me and enlarge my coast." And the Lord answered his prayer. Look at somebody and say, "God will answer your prayer. God will answer your prayer." Amen. Tonight the Holy Spirit again emphasized upon my heart, the children of God need to pray. You need to ask God concerning your finances. You need a house, you can be bold enough to ask Him for a house. You need, jobs for your children, you can ask Him. you want God to prosper you, you can ask him. Sometimes believers go through this guilt. Is it okay to ask God for finances? I mean, there's a lot of talk going about against prosperity gospel. I do not know what that gospel is. Honestly, I do not know. But one, I do not preach the prosperity gospel either. Whatever it is. But I believe in the prosperity of the Bible. He delights in the prosperity of his children. And I believe if we pray, if we ask him, he will grant to us the heart's desire and will set us free and will bless us and will bless our generations. If you believe that, lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So two parts to this message tonight. One is, I want to pray towards the end of the meeting again for a supernatural debt cancellation. And I also want to lay the foundation. How can you pray for your finances? There are many people in debt. Some of them, they've inherited debt. As a pastor, I look at people and sometimes they've inherited debt. Their parents left them nothing other than debt. Some people are married to debt. You got married and the spouse is carrying a debt. Some people enter into debt because they keep comparing, the comparison trap. They keep comparing themselves with the family next door. Looks like they've bought another house. Looks like they've got another car. Looks like they've got another holiday. Looks like they've just, bought a boat too. And you begin to compare yourself with them. And you begin to compete with them without knowing it. And it happens among believers. But it is the attitude called gratitude that will keep you out of that trap. Are you with me? Amen. If you can celebrate what God is doing in your life, the little that you have, if you can thank him for it, if you can celebrate what God is doing in somebody else's life and say, thank you, Lord, for blessing them with that car, blessing them with that land, blessing them with that honor, blessing them with that travel. If you can keep doing that, let me tell you, your breakthrough will also come. Your blessing will also come. God will begin to release his blessing also upon you. If you believe that, lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and say that, thank you, Jesus. Amen. So principles of praying for money. The number one principle. We must be in right standing with God. I want you to say that. We must be in right standing with God. Not just coming to church or not just going to church, but actually in a real right standing with God. John chapter 15 verse 7. The Gospel of John chapter 15 and verse 7. It says there, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If, which means it is conditional. If you abide in me, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Abide means dwelling in him. We're just not drifting in and out of your relationship with God. You're choosing to dwell in Christ. Most people are comfortable coming to a church, attending a meeting and just going off. But God says, abide in me. Dwell in me. And if my words abide in you. Most people have every other word in their life abiding in them other than the word of God. What their father spoke, what their uncle said, what their neighbor said, what some believers said, every other word is playing in their hearts except the word of God. But if my word abides in you, which means if you're thinking, if you are meditating, if you are feeding on my word. Yesterday I was in the house of a man of God, and while we were chatting along, suddenly his clock began to strike. And actually the body inside the clock came out and said a scripture. And he said one of his believers in the church made the clock actually. And I thought, what a beautiful idea. I said, I need one of them. So every hour when the clock strikes the hour, the body will come out and say out a scripture. And I said, wow, no wonder God is blessing him. Two, for your, like I said, it's a very simple down-to-earth message, but it's a foundation. Our requirement must be based on Christ's name and God's reputation. Our requirement must be based on Christ's name and God's reputation. Because name is a reflection of God's character. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Did you find that? Are you with me? Are you writing down? Friday evenings, I'm just going to teach you. That's all. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And the next verse, John 14, 14, a good scripture to memorize. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The name of Jesus is powerful. Praise God. Anything in the name of Jesus, God says, I will do it. So next time you grab a lottery, say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you that I win this. No, don't do it. Like I said, it has to be a reflection of God's character. Taking a lottery is not. Because lottery has got to do with luck. And luck comes from the word Lucifer. And we have nothing to do with Lucifer. Amen? The reason you don't take a lottery is also because you win at somebody else's loss. And God doesn't want that. It's not a reflection of God's character or nature. So when you pray for finances, you are looking, you know, don't ask for somebody else's wife or husband. It's not a reflection of God. It doesn't bring any glory to God. Many a time, we are concerned only about our name. But to take our eyes off ourselves and to say, Lord, I want to glorify your name. I want your name to be glorified in my finances, in my children, in my future, in all that I do. Jesus, your name to be glorified. Are you still with me tonight? You know that you are, your request is based on Christ's name and God's reputation when you know that you are doing something because He asked you to do. You get into trouble every time you do what you want to do. But every time you do something because he asked you to do. Let me tell you, he will show up. He will release his provision. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at somebody and say, don't do what you want to do. Do what Jesus wants you to do. Sometimes you don't have confidence to pray because you're doing exactly what you want to do. And you just want God to follow you. But we follow him. And goodness and mercy follows us. Are you with me? Three. Our appeal or prayer must fulfill God's word and his clear will. Our prayer must fulfill God's word and his clear will. 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Did you find that? Amen. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. What a word. Is it God's will for you to have a house? Yes, it is. Is it God's will for you to be healed? Yes, it is. Is this too simple? Is this helpful for anybody? Four. Follow scriptural principles in obtaining funds. Follow scriptural principles in obtaining funds. Second Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 6. And this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So you want to prosper, but you are stingy. You can pray all that you want, but you won't prosper. Because he who soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. He who soweth generously will reap generously. So you can pray and fast for 40 days and 80 days and all that, but you're not going to reap because you're not sowed. We live in a culture where people want to reap where they have not sown. And I see that even among believers, they have not sown, but they want to reap. When somebody came to me and said, Pastor, I was sick, and nobody came and visited me. I was sick, and nobody came and visited me. And I asked him, you've been coming to this church for a long time. How many people did you visit when somebody else was sick? So he's never sown it, and he's expecting, when he is sick, everybody to show up in his house. So he's not sowed it. You are a preacher and you're preaching, and you would like everybody to say amen and jump up and worship and dance and all that while you're preaching. But you never do that when somebody else is preaching. You're kind of bored, scratching your head. And then you want to reap while you're preaching, people getting excited. It doesn't happen. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What you sow, you will reap. And let me tell you, sowing is not tithing. The tithe is holy unto God. That is 10%. We studied about that in the weeks past. That is tithe. The tithe belongs to God. Sowing is apart from tithing. It's your offerings. So don't tithe and say, I've been sowing and sowing and nothing happened. No, you only gave to God that which is rightfully His. When you tithe, sowing is apart from your tithe. I told you, you might not like this message because you might not like this message, but this is the reality of God's word. I am preaching to you biblical finance. You want to get blessed, prosper God's way, I will teach you from the scripture. You sowing one seed is not going to give you a forest. One small seed you plant and you say, I'm expecting a harvest, pastor. There will be a harvest of mosquitoes. Come on. Hallelujah. Look at the person sitting in your row who is not smiling and you know it is hitting him. Just look around. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And I don't teach anything that I don't practice. When you ask God, remember this principle. Whenever you ask God for something, what He will do is He will give you a seed. Look at somebody and say, when you ask Him for something, He will give you a seed. You ask for a car, He will give you a seed. And what you do with that seed will bring the car to you. You ask Him for a house, He doesn't give you a house, He gives you a seed. But within that seed, there is a house there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28-29. Genesis chapter 1. And God blessed them, and God said that what God blessed them means God empowered them to prosper. The word blessed means empowered to prosper. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. Say, be fruitful. We think that means about having children. It doesn't mean that. It means be productive. Be productive. Be fruitful and multiply. That is having children. And replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. We know the rest of the scripture. Now look at the 29th verse. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Do you want a tree? God said, I'll give you a seed. As a matter of fact, Genesis 2 and verse 8 says, God planted. Look at, and Lord God planted a garden. God planted a garden and put Adam and Eve there. God is into plantation. God plants. Are you with me? And he expects you to be fruitful, multiply. He says, I will give you a seed. You put that seed in the ground, it will come out of forest. If you understood that, say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When During Noah's time, God said to Noah, get every animal pair by pair, not two males, a male and a female. Why? Because there is a seed inside of them. The earth is going to be destroyed, but the seed that is there will reproduce, will replenish, will again populate and multiply the earth. God could have created everything a second time. But God said, no. Everything that you need to multiply, to be blessed, comes in the form of a seed. Ah, come on. Raise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you put the seed, then the harvest will come out of it. Praise the Lord. Lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus, for the harvest. Thank you for the seed. Amen. Hallelujah. A seed contains within itself the supernatural DNA for a harvest and reproduction. What happens if you eat up that seed? No harvest is going to come. Imagine you are a planter, you go to a shop and says, I want a harvest of tomatoes. I got land, but I need a harvest of tomatoes. They will give you a seed of tomatoes. You take that seed, you go put it, you will get a harvest out of it. But you get the seed and you eat it, nothing comes out of that land. Are you with me? So what happens to most people is that they miss out. They got huge dreams, they got needs. Most of them don't even tithe, so the finances are under curse. Sometimes they start to tithe and they're still not multiplying or blessed, and they're wondering why. Because the seed is not being sown. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. Lift your hand and say, Lord, help me to be a consistent sower. Help me to reap a harvest because I sow the right seeds. When you study the scripture, it says that God gives seed to the sower, not to the Christian, not to born again, to the one who sows. Let me tell you, this one scripture changed my life. It was about 8 to 9 years back. I came upon the scripture and I said, Lord, I'm a full-time preacher. Is it possible for me to have a seed? God said, yes. So I said to the Lord, 1 year beginning, I said, Lord, I want a seed to sow into your kingdom this year. And I gave an amount to the Lord. This is the amount that I want. And that year, what was amazing was the amount that I asked him came. I did not know from where, how. It was maybe more than the 90% of what I had, but it came. And I made sure, this is the seed. I've been asking God for the seed. This is the seed. So I want a harvest. I want a harvest. So I'm going to keep the seed. I'm not going to eat this up. I've got needs. I've got bills to pay, but I'm not going to eat it up. I'm going to keep the seed. I'm going to sow it. I'm going to sow it. I began to do it. So that gave me a greater faith. The second year, again, I asked the Lord for the same amount of seed. The second year also that happened. The third year, I told the Lord, Lord, I have to build a house and all that now. So this time, yeah, 2 times I asked you for a seed. Now I want a harvest. And I wanted to, you know, decrease the amount of sowing a little bit because I wanted to save up a little bit more. But what was amazing was more than what I had sown in the first 2 years, the third year I was able to sow. God didn't allow me to save. That continued on. But then by the time I came to the 5th or 6th year, I began to see a shift in the area of finances. You don't sow on Monday and expect a harvest on Wednesday. Are you with me? A seed might leave your hand, but it will never leave your life. Anything that you give unto the Lord will never leave your life. It will always come back as a harvest of blessing unto you. If you believe that, lift your hand and say, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also for the eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. 3 and 4th verse, I go on to the 4th verse. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. So God is saying, cast your bread into the waters. Don't keep looking at, oh, the circumstances are not right, I don't have enough. No, no, no. The way for your financial deliverance is in your sowing. Cast your bread into the waters. It shall come back. Are you with me? Every time God blesses me with the bread, I take up, even when I feel it is good for me to eat, I take a portion of it and I sow it right back. I throw it right back into the river of the Holy Spirit. And I always see a return coming back. Praise God. I pray this will change your life. I am preaching to you the unadulterated word of God. This has to go into your heart. This has to come forth as wisdom. It will set you free in your finances. Luke chapter 6 verse 38. Luke chapter 6 verse 38. It says there, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you use will be the same measure that will be measured back to you. The same measure. Are you with me? You give a cupful of seed, a cupful will come back. You give a jugful will come back. The same measure you use, the same measure is coming back. You use a barrel full of seed, a barrel full comes back. Wow. Hallelujah. Glory unto the same measure that you use. So you give a small measurement and expect a big harvest and you get discouraged because it's not coming. It doesn't come that way. The same measure. Lift your hand and say, Lord, bless my finances. Set me free from every debt, from every curse of poverty. Release me to your wisdom. That which is not from your Holy Spirit, that which is not from your word, I don't want it. That which is from you, Lord, release it into my life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've seen that God will test you at seed time. Seed test. God won't test you with cancer. But God will test what you do with your seed, whether you're going to be faithful to it before the harvest comes. So we are in the 4th point. Follow scriptural principles in obtaining funds. Scriptural principles. We look at another principle in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 9 to 12. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it towards all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Say, I need to increase more and more. How? That you study to be quiet. Don't complain and grumble and murmur, just be quiet. And to mind your own business. Don't poke your nose in somebody else's
It's an amazing. You can actually prosper by minding your own business. Everybody is poking their nose into everybody else's business. You can be blessed by minding your own business. Look at somebody and say, mind your own business. You want to increase more and more? Be quiet and mind your own business and to work, say work, with your own hands as I commanded you. So you need to work. It's a biblical scripture foundation for you to be blessed. You need to work. Most people want to prosper, but they won't work. You need to work. Look at somebody else, you need to work. You need to go to your office on time. Not be the first one to leave the office. You need to work. It's a scriptural way of prospering. Doesn't sound very spiritual though. I was looking for abracabadra. One prayer by pastor, abracabadra. Here I am prospering. No. Look at somebody and say, work, work, work. Don't be idle. Work, work, work. The 12th verse, that you walk honestly towards them, that you may have lack of nothing. You hear that? That you might lack nothing. That you be honest, straightforward, you work, that you may lack nothing. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, that's the place that I'm going in. Amen. Lack or debt is a very dangerous thing. As a matter of fact, that word mortgage, however you pronounce it, means death grip. Death grip. Do you know that word interest? In Hebrew actually comes from a word called nashak, which means the bite of the serpent. The bite of the serpent. So you take money on interest, it's the serpent biting you. It's a death grip. I've seen believers who are lacking. It looks like everybody else is prospering. They take a loan from there, they take money on interest from somewhere else, they mortgage their property. And then they are struggling to come out of it. It's like the devil has got you by the neck. It saps your strength. It saps your energy. Let me tell you, if you don't have debt, you are prosperous. You might not even have a savings, but if you don't have debt, you are prosperous. God can build you up from there. So don't take a car or a bike or whatever, paying huge interest, and then buy a house and take another amount of loan and try to run your business by rolling in money. You take from one person, you roll that another, you take from another person. Don't get your credit card high on loan. Then one credit card you pay with another credit card. It's a trap. It's a death grip. God's way of prospering is not that. Let that break off from your life tonight in the name of Jesus. Let that break off. Lift your head and say, Lord, my God, deliver me from every kind of debt in my family, in my generation, in the name of Jesus. Are you still with me?
Student loan, house loan, car loan. That's not faith. You gotta trust the Lord to provide for you. If He doesn't, be quiet and wait on the Lord and continue to sow in your seed.
The fifth point, you must ask in faith. You must ask in faith. Mark chapter 11 verse 24. Mark chapter 11 verse 24. Can somebody read it for me, please? Mark chapter 11 verse 24. Amen. Whatever you ask, believe that you have received them and you will have them. Praise the Lord. See, this word has to, you know these scriptures, but let me tell you, Kenneth Hagin once was preaching on this scripture, Kenneth Hagin Senior, and he was preaching it almost continuously for a couple of months. And somebody in the congregation said, Pastor, we know that scripture. Why are you preaching it again and again? Because Kenneth Hagin said that it's because it has not entered your spirit. It's still not entered into you. It's gone into your books, but it's not come into you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Ask in faith. Ask in faith for you to be set free from debt. And I want to pray because I feel the grip of the devil being loosed out of people's finances here. Let me tell you, more than any other year, if you obey these practical things that I'm telling you from scripture, this year, by the end of the year, you will be amazed by what is happening in your finances. Let me tell you that with all boldness as a servant of God, you will see the hand of God moving forth in the area of your finances. Amen. Ask in faith. Look at somebody and say, ask in faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 to 7, and we pray together. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. See, enough. And there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be slaves. Can you imagine that? He was in the church, in the school of prophets, with the prophet Elijah. But this man's finances were affected. He never made plans to provide for his wife and children. I told you last week, you gotta make provision for your family. If you are not there, whenever God calls you, that there will be provision for your wives and children. This man never made any plans. He never made any plans. He didn't prepare. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And Elisha said unto her, what is it thou hast in your house? Thine handmaiden has nothing else but a little bit of oil. And then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when you come into the house, shut the door and pour the oil into those vessels. And she went, did that, brought the vessels and began to pour forth oil that was there in a small jar.
Imagine this, the small jar of oil that she's got. This is all the oil that she's got. Let me drink some of it.
This is the only jar of oil that she's got. And she's getting huge vessels. Huge, big vessels. With this glass of water, can I fill a bucket? Can I fill two buckets with this glass of water? Which is easier, to take a bucket full of water and fill this glass, or take this glass of water and fill a bucket? Which would you like to do? Huh? I can't hear you. You're confused, you're not sure? Huh? But faith is when you know with this glass of water, you can fill buckets. With this glass of water, you can fill buckets. That is faith. For you to come out of debt, you have to see what is in your hand, in your house. She began to fill the buckets or the vessels. And she comes. And the prophet, you know what he says? Sell it. Repay your debt first. And then the Bible says there, they lived on the rest. They prospered, in other words. Can you imagine that? Just a glass of oil set them free from debt and they prospered. In other words, what you have with you, what you have, can bring you out of your debt. The first thing to do is get out of debt. So there is something in your house that you need to sell. It is okay to sell. There is stuff in your house that you need to sell to get out of debt. But that is the right thing to do. Don't allow interest rates to go up and again money owing the bank. Sell it. Get out of debt. But most of us don't do it because we attach to the stuff. You can't afford that car. You can't even put petrol in it. You're paying the EMI also. But you won't give it off because it's a status symbol. Let it be there in the porch. You're attached to it. Get rid of it. No much amens now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Get rid of it. You would like that huge plasma TV that you saw in your cousin's house, but you can't, you don't, actually you can take it by paying monthly installments and you're keeping on paying. You can't afford it. Get a black and white small little thing. Be debt free. Sell it.
I told you, this is a tough message. I mean, I really want to see the breakthrough in the finances in people's lives here. So I am going to tell you from the word of God hard things. And if you're going to take it in and allow God's wisdom to flow into you, let me tell you, supernaturally, God's hand will move forth for your life. If you believe that, lift your hands and say, amen.
She's got a sentimental value to that oil. Nothing in my house, just a little bit of oil. She minimized what she had. She placed minimum value to it. Sometimes we have sentimental value to things.
So we're going to pray now. Are you with me? Amen. Was this helpful? Amen. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Either just kneel down or stand up in the presence of God. Lay your finances at the feet of Jesus. Earnestly pray, Lord, that you would bless me indeed, Lord, that you would enlarge me. And God heard that request. If you pray, if you ask, then He will give you divine instructions to get out of debt, to prosper again. But you got to ask Him. You got to be open. You got to be willing and obedient for God to bless you. Close your eyes, kneel down or stand up in your places. Lay yourself at the feet of Jesus. Earnestly pray from your hearts. I want to hear your voices praying. Father, we love you. I still haven't touched on the supernatural delivering part because I want to lay the foundation before I come to it. But you pray if you've made mistakes. Ask the Lord forgiveness. Repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There are many here tonight who are burdened, worried, anxious in the area of your finances. 90% of your time, your thoughts are, what will happen with my life in regard to finances? God is wanting you to put that anxiety, that fear, that worry at His feet. He says, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Don't be afraid. If you are in the vicinity of this word, if you are hearing His word, it is the Lord Himself telling you, I've got supernatural deliverance from you. You won't go down in debt. You won't go down into bondage, but you will come out of the death grip. You will come out of Satan's bite. You will come out of the serpent bite. You will come out. You will come out. You will come out. You will come out. Your finances will come out. Don't be afraid. Lay your troubles at the feet of the Lord. You will come out. In the name of Jesus, Father, I release your blessing over your people. I cancel every yoke of the enemy of debt and bondage and financial bondage and burden over their lives. I break its power in the name of Jesus right now. I speak a liberty over your people. Bless them, Father. Bless them, Father. Release your provision. Release your supernatural grace. The Lord wants you to let your burden at His feet. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Don't be depressed. He says, I won't let you down. Let this word bring about hope inside of you, joy inside your spirit. If the word has entered your soul, the manifestation of the deliverance will be there. If the word enters your heart, then the manifestation of the blessing will be there. If the word enters your heart, the blessing will come. The blessing will come. The release will come. The release will come in the name of Jesus. I rebuke foolishness. I rebuke the bondage in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As we continue to worship Him. Worship Him, worship Him. I'm going to take a few more minutes in worship. Worship Him. Dedicate yourself unto the Lord. Just let go your burden at the feet of Jesus. Your fear, just let it go at the feet of the Lord. Don't take it back home today. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. I want you to stand up in your places tonight. Just stand up in your places. Hold the hands of the person standing next to you. We pray as one family. We pray as one church. Hold the hands of somebody standing next to you. Pray for that person's finances. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, the Lord who will supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. Forgive the mistakes, the sins, and the foolishness of your people. Forgive us, Lord. And tonight we ask you for your wisdom. We ask you for your supernatural provision. We ask you for supernatural breakthrough. We ask you for supernatural debt cancellation. We ask you for supernatural intervention in the area of our finances. In the name of Jesus tonight, I ask you to send forth your deliverance over everyone in this congregation, wherever they might be. Send your holy deliverance. Send the deliverance that comes from you. Let the richness of your anointing destroy every yoke of the enemy over their lives. Let your people prosper. Let them come out of bondage. Let them come out of debt. Let them prosper the godly way. Let them experience supernatural provision in the name of Jesus. Raidamanam samjutanam avde pradimanasiya. Let limitations go. Let bondages break. Let there be supernatural intervention in the area of their finances. Let there be blessing in the name of the Lord. Enlarge and bless your people, oh God. Bless them, Father. Bless them, Father. Remove every heaviness, every burden, every fear, every anxiety, every depression, every discouragement. Release their hearts to joy and peace that comes by the Holy Ghost. And let there be supernatural anointing over their lives to bless them, to be blessed and to prosper. We thank you for doing it. Bless businesses, bless the work of their hands, bless their homes, bless their generations. In Jesus' name, 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 in Jesus' name. Lift your hands and give a shout to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you for being here. You have just been blessed by a powerful message from Pastor Rajesh Matthew. We at Cornerstone Church encourage you to join us as we gather in the name of Jesus to worship the Lord and to feed on His fresh word every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for the Malayalam services and for the English services on Fridays 6:30 p.m. and Sundays 3 p.m. in the afternoon. You can also watch us live at www.joshuageneration.org, where the services are live streamed and archived for later viewing. God bless you, and remember, we are for signs and wonders for the Lord our God.